Father, in the name of Yeshua, I thank you for your anointing today. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the Apostle John and his testimony of you. Lord, I pray for all that are listening that your spirit would just roar over them like hot oil, and that the flame of your love and the spirit of understanding would be released in Yeshua's name. This is the second part of Yeshua is Love. It's a teaching out of 1 John. Welcome. Let's open our Bibles. I'm working out of two translations, the New King James Version and the Scriptures, translated by the South African, what is it, the South Institute for Scripture Research in South Africa. Puts the name of God back in the Hebrew context. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 is our beginning text. John is now going to discuss different spiritual states so we can be assured that there are different maturity levels in the kingdom. And his analogy is children, fathers, and young men. So let's see what he says. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So here we go. Let's see. I write to you, little children. So little children are those that have been born again, as Yeshua taught, to the man who met him in secret, the man who was part of the religious Sanhedrin at the time that Yeshua was on the earth. And Nicodemus, I believe, was his name. And he came to inquire about spiritual things. And Yeshua said, you can't understand spiritual things unless you are born again by the Spirit of God. And the rabbi said, well, do we have to enter into your mother's womb to be born again? And no, Yeshua said you had to be born by the Spirit, by the Spirit of God, because you have to have the Spirit of God operating in and through you to reveal to you and give you understanding of spiritual matters. So these are the spiritual states as little children. That's someone who has been born again and is just newly walking in the faith. Because your sins are forgiven, it says here, because you received the atonement work of the cross. You've received for his name's sake, for Yeshua's name. You've embraced Yeshua as your Savior to save you from your sins, and that you're forgiven because of his blood. And you have received him as Lord of your life. So now you're a child of God. Verse 13, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. So this is interesting. Now he's speaking to fathers, but he's talking about because you have known him who is from the beginning. So Hebrew thought is sort of cyclical. It is cyclical, in fact. It's not like the linear Greek thought. You go A, B, C. There's a circle within a circle, and it comes back around, and it winds around in thinking. The beginning is the end. The end is the beginning on all things, the sum and the fullness and the maturity. So here he says, you know him who is from the beginning. And this has two sort of thoughts running through it. One, him who is from the beginning is the creator, Father the creator. But also him who was in the creator and was the firstborn of all creation before creation was, which is Yeshua, that we explained a little earlier and John articulated in the first chapter, 1 John. So that's part of the qualifier of the Father, is there's a maturing of the depth of the beginning and from the end, and a more developed idea of who God is. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. So young men are men who are ready to take their place, who have a lot of this, the basic foundations of faith have been laid, they've been tested, and they've come into a place of being able to take on responsibilities and spiritual insights and spiritual revelation, and to be responsible over them, because you have overcome the wicked one, because they no longer fall into the snares of the enemy. They've been tested and tried and proven, and they have overcome. And that's the qualifier. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. So here he comes back to the first thought. Your sins are forgiven, but you also know the Father because you know his namesake. And Yeshua said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and I and the Father are one. And if you agree on anything touching heaven as on earth, then it will be done, because Yeshua only did what he saw the Father doing. So there's a unity. He's talking about a maturing in the family of God as children, as sons, as fathers. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. This is verse 14. It reiterates the beginning of same, I write to you, fathers, or I have written. So he's writing to the fathers, but he's also already written to them. It's in the past. So it's sort of like, I'm writing to you in the future, but you already know in the past. You know him who is from the beginning. So it's just sort of confirming who this is in the Lord. You've already known him. You're going to know him. And he is the firstborn of all creation. He is the Father's Son, and he is in the Father. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So here he's encouraging and strengthening and edifying the young men again, to strengthen them in the Lord, saying that this is the qualifier, that you are able to withstand the works of the wicked one. The word of God abides in you, and you are walking the Christian life. It is being played out in your life. So these are spiritual states. And God deals with us, as any good father would, according to our spiritual state. When you speak to a child and you deal with a child, you speak to it on its level of maturity and where that child is at, or what is needed in that child's life, either comfort or love or discipline. And you deal with them according to where they are. As a young man, when we have like teenagers or 20-year-olds, young adults, really this is more young adults, young men, these are people that in the body of Christ, you can release more responsibility. They can deal with spiritual warfare. They can they have an understanding and are strengthened in the Word of God. And they know the Lord, they know the Father, and they know the Son's name. So they've gone through all this process. Now to come into spiritual maturity or fatherhood is the level of knowing how the Father operates when dealing with the body of Christ. It is having the heart of Father God, knowing, perceiving, and having insight into where people are in the family of God, what their position is, how they belong, how they fit in, what kind of discipline is needed for one and not for the other, that it's different. It's a wisdom. There's a wisdom from God that comes, and there are not very many fathers in the faith. Let's go on to verse 15 through 17, which is here John is telling us, now I don't want you to love the world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now this comes right after he's giving an encouragement to the young men who are strong in the word of God, and they've overcome the wicked one. And then he's breaking that open and saying, don't love the world or the things in the world. See, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve worldliness and worldly ambitions and serve God because you don't love him. You love those other things. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And that is to say, Yeshua, when he was tempted before he began his ministry in the wilderness on his 40-day fast, Satan came to him and said, all the lust of the flesh, here's a rock, you know, turn it into bread, the lust of the eyes, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth, the pride of life, you know, and then the testing of God, which is the pride. If you say you really are who you are, prove it. You don't have to prove it. That's pride that causes us to prove ourselves. Is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And this is how HaSatan, that is the Satan, attested Yeshua in the wilderness as he was fasting in these areas. And we will be tested in those areas. And then the Lord met Yeshua at the Jordan River when John was baptizing and came and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." So this is sonship. Sons of God are those who are walking in this kind of maturity. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So here we see the Apostle John is saying, the world is passing away. All the lust of it. These things are not eternal truths. These are worldly things, and you're not in the kingdom if the love of the Father is not in you. If you still love the world, then the love of the Father hasn't come in and given you victory. Hasn't worked in your heart enough to overcome the lust of the flesh and eyes and the pride of life. Big mansions, fancy cars, high platform ministry, and we're talking in the body of Christ. Now, we're talking in the body of Christ. The world, we know, is like this. The world does not have God, and they don't know anything else. They're empty and they're vacant, and all they have is this superficial life and perhaps what they can do with it, and they're lost. They don't have direction. But we have direction. We have an eternal kingdom. We have an eternal inheritance. We have life forever, and we are living our lives because the love of the Father is in us. And we are living to please him and not our selfish ambitions and not our pride and not what we think we should have. All these things are passing away. But the will of God, he who does the will of God abides forever. And this is the long-term race for the Christian. This is the long-term plan, is to continue in the will of God no matter what happens, no matter what comes our way, no matter what testing. No matter what deprivation, no matter what tribulation, no matter what trial, no matter what temptation. Sometimes it's the temptations are greater. The temptations of those of us who've had comfortable lives and had easy provision. Now, that's not everyone, but the Israelites, it says in Deuteronomy, the Lord reminded them that after they came out of the slavery and the hardship of the desert and the wilderness, and they came into the promised land and they became settled and began to accumulate wealth, is when they turned away from God and turned to other gods to sustain them and provide for their needs. They began, after they lusted after the flesh pots of Egypt, they began to break the commandments. They began to lord it over their brothers and sisters in the land as they were prospering. And so all these are the fallenness of the human condition without God. But the key to the matter is to abiding in the will of God. See, he who does the will of God abides forever. And so we have to consistently deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him daily and put these things off, lest the enemy comes in and gets a hook in us and will take us away from winning the race of the high calling of abiding in the will of God and to obtain the victory in God. And so young men have, as it says here, overcome. They are overcomers. And this is the line that John is drawing, and that the definition of who and where and what and how the body of Christ, what it looks like for the character, the Christian walk and the character evaluation. Now, the Apostle Paul, John, in the next six scriptures is going to discuss, verses, is going to discuss the deceptions of the last hour. And at the time of the first century, it was the last hour. They believed that Yeshua was going to return. And so he says, little children. Now here he's talking to children. So he says, now he's a father, and he's going to talk to them. It is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Okay? So we know, because there's a proliferation of Antichrist, many Antichrists, but the big Antichrist is coming. You've heard it said that, okay? But there are many small Antichrists, and so we know that we are in the last hours, that we are being challenged for our faith. And so the big Antichrist is going to come, and he will manifest himself. Verse 19, and they went out from us. Now who went out from us? The little Antichrist. They were part of the fellowship and the flock. But they went out, they left, but they were not of us. They weren't part of us. Why? For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they may be made manifest that none of them were of us. So they left that it might be evident and that they might be manifested who they really were, and that they would be exposed by going out, that they were not of the true, the remnant, the covenant remnant, the true body of Christ, the flock. But, he says in verse 20, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, this is a very interesting scripture, because this anointing from the Holy One is the Spirit of truth, and it's to lie, and it says you know all things. It's the Holy Spirit will prompt you. It will give you checks. There'll be a holding back or restraining about certain people or a guard wherever they are, and also the Holy Spirit will give you a word of knowledge and talk to you about who these kind of people are and what is going on. What is this Antichrist? Well, it says in verse 21, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So here that John is saying, okay, these Antichrists are not walking in the truth. They're walking in lies. And you are able to know that they're not, because the Holy Spirit will tell you that they are not walking in the truth, that they're lying to you. And who is this liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? And that's the lie of the Antichrist. He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. That is the mark and the grade of the Antichrist. You have the truth. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know who the Father is. And you, as children, you've trusted on the name of the Son, and then you know the Father. But those who don't know this, they deny this. They deny that Yeshua is the Messiah. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So it's very clear No one denying the Son has the Father. The one confessing the Son has the Father as well. No man cometh to the Father except by me, says Yeshua. There is no other way to the Father, the Creator God of the universe. There is only one way. You can only go by the way that Yeshua has made. He made the way. We trusted in his name and his salvation, as it says in 1 John, and the blood that he spent. He's the Savior of our sins. We become his children and he is our Father. And the only way to our Father is through Yeshua the Messiah. And John is clearly stating this here. He's clearly saying, this is the only way. Then he goes on, and we're talking about the lie and the truth here, okay? And this lie is rampant now in all kinds of other religious beliefs. Well, there are many ways to God. There are not many ways to God. There's only one way to God. And the way is narrow, and few are they who find it. Verse 24 through 27 says, talking about the truth abiding in us, therefore let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. In other words, when you first receive Yeshua as the Messiah, that's what you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. So you have to stay in the faith and in the belief. If you have come to Yeshua as the Messiah and come to the Father, he's your Savior for sin, then you need to cling to that and abide in that and let that truth operate in you. And then you will be abiding in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. We will have a life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes on me shall not perish, but shall live forever. So, but we have to abide in the life-giving. We have to, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. So there are many out there who will say, you can come to this, your good works, or this or that, or you have the Messiah in you. You don't. You don't have that. You don't have Yeshua, the HaMashiach, Yeshua the Messiah, brought an atoning work for us, and we receive him and he abides in us. But we are not. We are not God or anything like that. We are children of his, and he is working with us to bring us into the family. But we cannot come to God through Buddhism or Hinduism, or Santeria, or through the Pope, or through any other type of occult way that are trying to get power and godlikeness and deception from the garden. Like Satan said, well, you'll be like gods if you'll eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. No, that's not what brings us eternal life. What brings us eternal life is the tree of life, where Yeshua reversed the curse. He took the curse on the cross, and he set us free. He saved us from our sins. He broke the curse with his blood. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teaches you. So this anointing, as long as you stay in the faith that Yeshua and the Father, that you receive this, and you don't have anyone to teach you this. No one has to teach you this. You know this. You know God. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. Okay, that anointing that first came into your life when you first received the Savior will bring you into all things. And it is true. It is the truth, and it's not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And so that is the keeping power. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. That is our abiding faith. This is how we come to know and to embrace and to grow and stay in Christ, in Yeshua, the Messiah, HaMashiach. Christ is the anointing. It's the anointing. It's the Holy One working in us. And now, little children, abide in him. And when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So he's exhorting them, beloved John is saying, okay, stay in God. Stay in God. Be faithful. Have confidence. And don't be ashamed before him at his coming. And if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practice righteousness is born of him. Ah, here it is. So, those that practice righteousness, everyone who practices righteousness is born of him, because he saves us from our sins and he works his righteousness in us. He becomes our righteousness. He was made sin who knew no sin, that he might impart to us his righteousness. And he is our lover. He's the lover of our soul. He bought everything for us. He paid for it. He saves us. The Holy Spirit works in us as we abide in him. We just need to stay abiding in him and in the truth, in the Spirit of truth, and not be deceived by the Antichrist, those that deny that the Father and the Son, that they're one, that the Son has the Father also, and the Son has the Father. That the only way to the Father is through the Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. There is no other way. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've made a way for us. And Father, we know that because of our rebellion and our sinfulness and our flesh, that we need you to reveal to us your ways and your will, that you've opened up your commandments and your will and your ways, and even children can receive you, young children, and even there's this, it is childlikeness that causes us to cry out to you, Abba, Father. And we thank you that you do this by the anointing that's in us. The Holy One comes and we abide in you and we stay in the truth. We will not deny you. There is no other way. There is no other name given under heaven by which we may be saved. And Yeshua proved himself when he was raised from the dead, that we have this hope in our lives of everlasting resurrection life because of your power, Father, of your Holy Spirit. We thank you and praise you. Thank you for joining me today. Be greatly blessed and refreshed and loved in Yeshua HaMashiach, in the Father's heart. This has been produced by Kathleen Pearl, Kathleen Pearl Ministries. You can find my website at www.kdpirlministries.org. That is kdpearlministries.org. Goodbye.